All right, take your Bibles again and look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I do want to mention, be in prayer for Brother Barry Nixon Sr. He had a stress test the other day, and they said there were some abnormalities, described what he should be feeling with these abnormalities, but he didn't feel any of those things. He says he's doing great, been shoveling snow and those kind of things, but because of the abnormalities, he will have a heart catheterization tomorrow. Is that correct? And so be in prayer about that, and he's feeling great, no issues that he can tell, but pray about that and ask the Lord to help with that. All right, this passage of Scripture is really the whole chapter, all of chapter 1 kind of ties together, but I want to pull out of there, out of verse 17, a little phrase that says, "Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Right before that, he says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That's our whole lifestyle. Verse 16, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And then he talks about the time of our sojourning. In other words, there are certain things he expects out of us during our time of sojourning here. But I want to talk to you about that, the words, the time of your sojourning. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning and tonight, and just guide and direct us through your word into the new year coming up, that we would take advantage of the time that we have, Lord. I pray that we would be able to look back at 2012 and analyze whether we did actually take advantage of a whole year that we had, and now that we'd look ahead and take advantage. Lord, that we take advantage of each day, each week, each month. And so please speak to our hearts and give us what we need this morning to challenge us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The time of your sojourning, and this is part one because I had just too many points to do just this morning, so we'll do part two tonight. But the theme, of course, for 2013, as I mentioned, is such a time as this, and again, focusing on how important it is that we have these periods of time. We have opportunities. We have something that God wants us to do. We have a calling of God in our own ways. Each and every one of us has that, and I was talking to the shepherds and talking about their purpose. Each of them has a purpose, and it's exciting to think that God would use us for anything, let alone to think about having a purpose in the will of God, and what a blessing it is that we have. And so we'll go into 2013 with the ideas of such a time as this. This time, this is our time. I don't know if you're like me, but a lot of times I'll talk about, well, back in my day. Well, it's still my day. Bless God. I'm still alive, and you're still alive. Still your day. And we have time. We have something. We have another period of time, which we call 2013. Now, this last period of time, 2012, is ending, as we know. And now we have new opportunities. So, a lot of people, and I heard Brother Hawkins mention as he was teaching my Sunday school class, as I went over to the Shepherds, how many of you have, New Year's resolutions and those kind of things? A lot of people do it that way because, again, a year ends, one opportunity ends, and now we start another one. And a lot of people do that, and certainly that's a good thing. But now we have a new opportunity of 2013, and we'll enter into that at 12 o'clock a.m. Tuesday morning, and we'll have 1 year. We'll have 12 months. We'll have 52 weeks, or we'll have 365 days, or we'll have 8,760 hours, or we'll have 525,600 minutes. Or if you really want to get serious about this thing, we'll have 31,536,000 seconds. And you can count them all off, and if you do that, that's fine. But I want to focus this morning and evening on our text, and especially the little passage here where it talks about past the time of your sojourning here in fear. The time of your sojourning. I mean, it's God says, take it seriously. God says, I'm holy. He says, I want you to be holy. God says, I want you to pass this time, whatever that time is. And for everybody, it's going to be different. All of us, it is a different amount of time. And it's a different time. We all have different jobs. We all have different callings of God. He says, pass that time here in fear. Be in fear that you're not going to count every second for what it is, that you're not going to take advantage of every minute, every day, every hour, every week. And so the time of your sojourning, by the way, a sojourn simply is a brief time. Sometimes I've used the word sojourn as like a vacation, you know, and some people may talk about that. It's just a brief time. It's not all the time. It's just a brief time. The psalmist said this in Psalm 90 and verse 10. He said, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." And so God says in Psalms that we're an average would be 70 to 80 years. And again, that is time. That is a measure of time. The time of your sojourning. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. And number one is I want you to see the predecessor of time. The predecessor of time. Time is for us. Okay? The predecessor of time is eternity. If you want to look at Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning. Well, in the beginning, God was already there. So when time began, God was already there because God was in eternity past. God has always been. Now again, if you want to get a headache, you can dwell on that. All right, you just think about that and dwell on it. But in the beginning, when the heavens and the earth were created, God was already there. He was there. And so when time began, and however you want to mark time and all that, when it began, God was already there. And so there is an eternity past. Well, we know from our Bibles there is also an eternity future. And so we know that. And God obviously is already there as well. God inhabits eternity. Look at Job 36, verse 26. Job 36, 26. Again, we're talking about the predecessor of time, which is called eternity. It came before time. Job 36 and verse 26. And I would just encourage you to write some of these verses down. They are certainly good doctrinal verses talking about God. It says, "Behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out." How old is God? Well, we don't know. We can't number him. He's not numbered by years because he existed in, and he has always been in eternity past. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Go to that verse. And again, another good verse to write down about the Lord, Isaiah 57, 15. And it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." There he is, "whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." And the Bible clearly says, he inhabiteth eternity. And so again, the predecessor of time is eternity. Eternity past, that's God's always been. And the eternity future, God is obviously in both. He will always be. But in between those things is what we call time. In between eternity past and eternity future is this thing that we call time. And it can irritate us. You know, I mean, it really can. We say a lot about time. We talk about time. And yet God talked about time. God said, "You're going to have a period of time, a brief time, a time of your sojourning. And it's in between eternity past and in between eternity future. And this time determines our eternity. This time that we spend, because we are eternal. Everybody is eternal. Everybody is born and you are eternal. Now you either have eternal life by trusting Jesus as Savior, or you have eternal death by not trusting Jesus as Savior. And so eternal life is the gift of God. Talked about that at Christmas time. and eternal life is provided, but we all have eternal death initially because of our sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. We receive that through Jesus Christ our Lord. But again, whatever you decide, and I hope you'll decide to be saved. If you're not saved, I hope you'll decide to take the gift of God and trust Jesus as your Savior so that you can have an eternity future with the Lord in heaven, which never ends. Praise the Lord. If you don't take that, you have an eternity future in hell, which also never ends. And so it seems like everybody would want to take the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But individually, we could say we have a time. There is a time of our sojourning. How long will I be here? What is that time? Number one, the predecessor of time is eternity. You need to pay very close attention because if you're not saved, you are going to spend eternity somewhere. And with Jesus Christ, you can trust Him, you can call on Him, and spend eternity in heaven. Number one, the predecessor of time. Number two is the presence of time. Look at Genesis 1, verse 1. Genesis 1, first book of the Bible. Many of you have already started there. Some finished early. I've heard of folks finishing, actually by mid-December, finished reading through their Bible. And I said, just go ahead and start over in Genesis, and that'll be good. Genesis 1, 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. There's the presence of time. And there was a day, and there was night. The evening and the morning, it was a day. And that was all in the beginning. Obviously, there will be an end of time. Revelation 21, verse 3 says there's no night there. No night in heaven. So day and night, the evening and the morning, that equals a day. Well, one of these days, there's not going to be any evening. There's not going to be any night. There's not going to be any darkness. And so there will be an end of time. I mean, one of the great things about heaven, we don't think a whole lot about. We think about our lake of chocolate and all those kind of great things. But one thing we don't, no time, no alarm clock, no I got to get there, no any of that. There's no time. There's no hurrying to get anything done. But for now, time has a beginning and an ending. Seconds start and they stop. Minutes start and they stop. Hours start and they stop. And so there is a presence now of time. And God allows time, okay? There's eternity past, God's always been. There's eternity future, God will always be. But in the midst of that, God has put us in time. It is a period for us to be, to exist, to decide, to live, to serve, whatever we decide to do. He told us, as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He said, I want you to live this way. He says, I want you to be as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. He said, I want you to gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, He tells us throughout His Word, here's what I want you to do with this time. But I'm just saying the presence of time, it is what we are under now. We have time to decide. We have time to decide to be saved. We have time to decide what we're going to do for God. Only this life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's that eternity past. And so number one, the predecessor of time is eternity. Number two, the presence of time. God said, I'm going to give you a beginning and an ending, and I'm going to call that time. Number three is the presentation of time. Go back to Genesis 1, verse 14. Genesis 1 and verse 14. The Bible says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And so God said that I'm going to give you signs so that you can mark these periods of time. You're going to have moments, and the Bible talks about moments, minutes, if you want to call it that. You're going to have seasons, and we all know about seasons, and we are in the winter season now, and some of you don't like that necessarily, and you can't wait for spring. I've had people say, well, I just wish all we had was spring and fall, but it doesn't work that way. There are seasons. By the way, that's the way our life is, too. We have different seasons in our life, and we have good, what we would call wonderful things, and then we sometimes don't have such wonderful things. But there's seasons and days and years, and so that man could mark his sojourn, so that I could take my sojourn, this brief period of time that I have, and I can mark it, and I can mark it up into seasons, I can mark it into days, I can mark it into months, and that's my time. All right, it's man's 70 to 80 years, whatever we have. We'll have seconds, we'll have moments, we'll have minutes, we'll have hours, we'll have days, we'll have weeks, we'll have months, we'll have years, we'll have decades, we'll have centuries, we'll have millennium. I'm 54 years old. Somebody said recently said, you're over half a century old. I don't like that terminology. That is not as good. You know, 5 decades. Wow, you know, there's something about that wording. It's not quite as exciting. But it's the way we live. It's what we know. We have calendars to keep us straight. We have watches that we wear. We have clocks. We keep track of the seasons on the calendar. We have in the old days the sundial, the hourglass. We have all these things, and everything that we have, it reminds us. It all reminds us that there's just this period called time. It's what we have. You know, we have that God has given that it is the time of your sojourning. Now, I'll just take a little brief pause here and give you an intermission. What are you doing with it? What are we doing with this time of my sojourn? What am I doing? What are we each doing? Everybody has it. All of us. Each of us. We don't know how long anybody's is. We just know we have that moment, that time, the presentation. So number one is the predecessor of time, that is eternity. Number two, the presence of time, that is a beginning and an end. Number three, the presentation of time, seasons, days, years, whatever you want to call it. And then number four, we see the prediction of time. What is that? It'll end. There is one prediction of time that is going to be true, and that is it always ends. Second, it ends. It starts and ends. I mean, second, it goes fast, but always ends. A minute always ends. You know, count to 60. Now, not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know, that's not how you count, but 1, what do you say? 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3. Anyway, it ends. A minute always ends. If you have a watch with the second hand on there, you can just kind of watch it go around to a minute. And it always ends. Several of you did just now. Several of you looked at your digital watch, and anyway, but you can do that too. And in every hour, it starts and it ends. It always ends. Time, you know, that is a prediction of time that is always. It's going to start and it's going to end. Always does. And the evening and the morning, God said in Genesis, that's a day. That's a day. First day. Then there was a second day. Study it in the book of Genesis. There was a first day, then there was a second day. And at the end of the first day began the second day. It's always like that. And you can't go back and undo the first day. Why? Because it ended. And once it's gone, it's gone. I mean, you know, a lot of people, we got all excited in 01, because you could have 111 at 11111. You know, and everybody, I remember we all were talking about that. Oh, you know, we're going to get to have 1, 2, 3 at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know. And all those got to happen. Do you know that's all over with? Yeah, 13 messed it all up. And so now, you know, we'll never get to, you ever do that with your odometer on your car? Yeah. Well, that's the last time it'll be that number. You know, sometimes we get to 666 and we try to hurry so it's not on there. And once that number's there, it's unless you flip it back, which that's you're not supposed to do that. But we, you know, it's because it's done. That period now is done. 2012 is almost done. It was a period that, Lord willing, we're all going to be able to say we lived through that. We were in 2012. And once it's done, it's done. Now, the only way it can ever be reversed is, I believe this year's Vacation Bible School, we're going to build a time machine. It's the only way it can ever be reversed. There is no other way, just like our transporter that we had and all that. I mean, they're just Bible school things. They are not allowed in any other type of life. The end of the first day, that's the second day. The end of January or the end of December, that'll be January. The next tick on the clock. As soon as January or December ends, January begins. As soon as 2012 ends, 2013 begins. It's always like that. You know, it's interesting. 2 Samuel 14:14 says this: we must needs die. What's that mean? There's an end. We must needs die. Now, the only way out of that is the rapture. And praise God. I mean, we're praying for that. But Enoch got out of it. He was translated. And Elijah got out of it. He was taken up in a chariot of fire. But as far as we know, you know, unless Jesus comes, we're going to die. Because that's the end. And again, the end is the end. Because when we die, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So for the Christian, that is not a bad thing. In fact, to God, he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I mean, that's all good as far as a Christian. Now, again, there's things about it we don't, because we've never done it before. But there's a, that we must needs die. Why? Because we're in that time thing. And in that time thing, there is a beginning and there is an end. Look at Acts 17, verse 24. Acts 17, 24. Good explanation here. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. And God's determined all of that. God has determined that in Michigan, it's going to be winter most of the time. No. God has determined everything. Everything that goes on that involves time, God has determined starts and finishes. And again, it's amazing when you think about God and how great God is. But so clearly in Acts chapter 17, to a group of people that... said to the worshipped the unknown God, it's so good that God shows us there is a God that's determined every part of time. There is a God that hey, my sojourning here, the time I have here, God has determined that time. God has determined from the start. God knows every second. God has determined how much time. God has made a body that it isn't going to wear out till it's time to wear out. God has made your body. God has made your life. God has put all that. He's determined. He set the boundaries of the start and the finish. He's got it all under control. And praise God for doctors and praise God for tests. Well, sort of. But praise the Lord for people, God giving people knowledge to do those things. But understand, God has it all under control. God knows about 2013. Do you understand? And I was thinking about this morning as I was praying. I know every year, the either the start of the year or the end of the last year, I'll say something like, you know, by the end of this coming year, some of us won't be here on this earth. And as I was praying today, as I was praying for Sheila Click, I thought about, in my mind, I tried to go back, and I don't remember a year ago. I don't, sometimes don't remember 10 minutes ago. But I tried to go back and think about how I looked out, and I wondered, you know, who will it be? Who will it be in 2013 that'll go to heaven? And it's sad, and yet it's also a blessing. But I promise you that he knows. Because he sets the boundaries. And he knows the boundaries. And you know, if you're a bus captain, he knows how long you're going to be a bus captain. He has a boundary set. If you serve the Lord and if you teach Sunday school, he knows all that. He is the one that says there's going to be a start and there's going to be an end. The psalmist said this, and I love it, in Psalm 31, verse 15. In fact, I have that inscribed on one of my watches. My times are in thy hand. God, my time, totally in your hand. Completely in his hand. And one of the most amazing things about God is how he has control. You know, when we are so confused about what's going on and why this and why that, and to always be able to go back and say, God, you're in control of it all. You know, as we look at this past election, and I still scratch my head and try to, I mean, the last time I couldn't believe people voted the way they voted. And now to see it again, it's like, but God has it all under control. And the boundaries are set. Is 2013 the year of the rapture? Is it the rapture? Is Jesus going to come and get us? Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing? I mean, it'd be so good. And yet, there's still so many lost. And, you know, you start talking about the rapture. I know every time we talk about the second coming of Christ, the rapture, you know, we have teenagers that kind of, you know, they're not quite as excited as we older folks are because they want to grow up and they want to get married and have kids and all. And I understand that. And I, you know, don't get on them about that. But the truth of the matter is, doesn't matter what I say, what you say, God has it all under control. The prediction of time, it will end one day. Number one, the predecessor of time. Number two, the presence of time. Number three, the presentation of time. Number four, the prediction of time. Number five, the precision of time. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's a scary thing. It really is, because it just always happens. Start to finish. The sun sets and the sun rises. You know? I mean, just always, unless you're in Alaska. Or the North Pole, but I mean it still is, and you know what? Even though the sun may not be doing it all the same everywhere, the seconds tick. They just always tick, just keeps going all the time. I was watching Don. We were trying to sing, working on the song, the ensemble, the song Pachelbel. Did I say that right? And anyway, it was just a kind of a hard song, and he had this little metronome. No matter what we did, it just kept going. Sometimes we didn't go with it. Sometimes Don wasn't going with it. A lot of times piano players weren't going with it. And often the singers weren't, but it just kept going. It's like a second. You know, it doesn't matter what we do, it just keeps going, always. Those minutes just keep flying by. Doesn't matter what we do. It's just precise, the precision of time. Seconds tick. And you can't stop. Oh, yes, yes, I can. I'll turn off my watch. It doesn't stop it. Doesn't stop it. No, it just keeps going. Only God did. You know, he stopped everything for one day so Joshua could finish his battle. Amen. And then as a sign to Hezekiah, he turned back the degrees of the sundial or whatever the method of time was then to gain maybe 15 to 20 minutes as a sign to Hezekiah. But otherwise, it just keeps going. And so our sojourn, our vacation, our brief moment, it is set. And it's always going that direction. Somebody says, well, the day you're born, you start to die. That is so true. And it just keeps going. It just keeps going. That's why the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. Why? Because it is a set time. That's why you have to get saved during this time. Because when it's over, it's done. After that, the judgment. After you die, the judgment. And you are either going to be in Christ when you face him, or you are going to be out of Christ, and you will have to answer for your own sins, and the only payment for that is hell. That's why you ought to be saved today. Amen. But the precision, nothing's going to change it. Not going to stop. There is no fountain of youth. Again, the only hope is our time machine. And that's not until June. And I'm sure it's not going to be permanent. You know, we'll have to, when you go back, you'll have to come back. I'm sure we'll have to invent it that way. Tim, you work on that. Your body's clock. I don't want you to think a lot about this, but it you have so many seconds. Do you understand? You have so many seconds. You have so many minutes. You have so many hours. And it is so precise. You have your heart will beat so many times. Your lungs will inhale, exhale. It will go so many times. It's precise. You know, you say, how do you know it's so precise? Because God's very, very, very precise. Isn't it He that said, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son? Now, it wasn't early, and it wasn't late. It was when the fullness of the time was come. You know, there is a fullness of the time for every one of us. That's why the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You need to be where you're supposed to be when that time comes. Okay, Elijah, if you're going to eat, you need to be there. Not there, you need to be there, because the ravens will feed thee there. Okay, not over here. You may want to go over here, but that's not where you're supposed to be, because the ravens will feed thee there. I love that truth in the Scripture. And yet it is, boy, when the Bible talks here about passing the time of your sojourning here in fear, it is kind of a fearful thing, isn't it? Because I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss anything God has for me, ever. And the precision of time makes it, I got to, you know, the fullness of the time Jesus was born, and I have to believe that in the fullness of the time, He's going to come again. Wow, I don't want to be messing around when He comes. I don't want to be out of His will when He comes. In fact, He is so accurate. Look at Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3. Here's our God and what He does. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything. What's that mean, everything? To everything. There's a season. What's that mean? There's a set time. To everything. A time to every purpose under the heaven. Everything. All right? So doesn't matter what it is. In fact, He goes on. He says, time to be born. We had our time. For some, it was unique. For others, it was another birth, you know. But it was a time. You had your time. Time to be born, time to die. Time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. So there's planting, there's harvest, there's time. God said there is a time for all these things. Time to kill, time to heal. Time to break down, time to build up. Time to weep, time to laugh. Time to mourn, time to dance. Time to cast away stones, time to gather stones together. Time to embrace, time to refrain from embracing. Time to get, time to lose. Time to keep, time to cast away. Time to rend or tear, time to sow. Time to keep silence, time to speak. Time to love and time to hate. Time of war, time of peace. God said everything has its season. All of it. And you can go on with your list and you can nail it down to everything. And all of it has that period of time. And God said, for every purpose. Wow. He gives us 24 hours in a day and we think we need 30. I mean, a lot of times, you know, you'll hear that. But God said, no, 24 hours is enough for you to do whatever you need to do in a day. You know, everything, God says, I have my purpose too. And His purpose, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. His purpose, someday is going to be the rapture of the church. But there's a time. Now, He knows the time. I don't know the time. Obviously, the Mayans didn't know the time. And all the other people that have been predicting for time and time and time. But there's a period of time for everything to take place that has to take place. You say, oh, I'm not going to get it done. But listen to me, you could have. I could have. You say, there's so much more that I need to do. Okay, if you need to do it, and if it is your purpose in life, you will. You better get started. You better get going. Amen. Because the precision of time, it isn't going to slow down for you. It isn't going to slow down for us. 2013 is going to happen unless Jesus comes. It's going to happen for every one of us unless we go to heaven. And our time stops because we're part of eternity then. Listen, the precision of time, it is a fearful thing to think it just keeps going. No matter what I do, it keeps going. I sleep, it keeps going. I goof off, it keeps going. Yeah. Yeah. Number one is the predecessor of time. Number two is the presence of time. Number three, the presentation of time. Number four, the prediction of time, the fact that it will end. Number five is the precision of time. It just keeps going. And then the last thing this morning is number six, and that is the presumption of time. And here's where we all get in trouble, because we think we have more. And we don't know that. We don't know that. I remember going to Bible college. I remember preacher after preacher coming and talking about funerals and talking about the hardest funerals being children, teenagers. I used to think, there is no way in this world. I don't know how you do that. Boy, I've preached a lot of funerals for children. I've preached a lot of funerals for teenagers. You always say, but they should have had more time. No, because that's not something we decide. That's not something we set. It's not something we control. Time, it just keeps going. And all of us, we live in this land right here. We think we have more time than we really have. That we have another second. We have another minute. We have another hour. We have another day to get done whatever we need to get done. We think it in reference to our life. Well, let's see. You're 54 years old. My wife and I, we talk about how we're going to die, and we're going to die when we're over 100 years old. We don't say 100 years old. That'd be not as happy of a birthday. But we're just going to lay down in bed at night and hold hands and just go to heaven one night after we're 100. Hey, baby. Anyway, and that's going to be it. That's what we think. But the truth of the matter is, we may never see 100. We don't know. We may not see 55. Boy, that sounds old. But all of us, and that's why God tells us in His Word, Proverbs 27:1, He says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. What's that mean? Well, here's what I'm going to do tomorrow. He said, no, because you don't know. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Number one, you don't know if you're going to be here. Number two, you don't know what the day is going to bring. You ever have it all planned out for the next day, and you didn't do any of it? You ever come to the fork in the road at the end of the day and say, okay, tomorrow I go here or here, and tomorrow came and you didn't have a choice. You didn't go here, you didn't go here, you went here. You say, what happened? Yeah. The presumption of time is, we don't have any idea. We don't know how long, we don't know what. It's our sojourn. You can't, look, for your time of sojourning here, you can't go to orbits and plan it all out. Travelocity can't help you. The time of your sojourn here on this earth, He's in complete control of that. Here's what I'm doing tomorrow. You don't know what you're doing tomorrow. You really don't. James 4, verse 13, look back. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Sounds good. Sounds like a good idea. We will, but he says in verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The presumption of time. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to this city. We're going to go there and live for a year. We're going to buy and sell, and we're going to do real well in our buying and our selling. God says, you don't even know if you're going to be alive. You don't even know if you're going to go to that city. Now, it's again, he's not saying don't plan. He says where there's no vision, the people perish. But the point is, we presume so much. We presume. Look at Acts 24, 25. Here's a presumption. One of the most sad presumptions in all the Scripture. Acts 24. And Felix is hearing the gospel. And the Bible says in verse 25, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. What's that mean? He's convicted. If you've ever gone soul winning at all, you've watched people when they're convicted, and you can see it. Boy, God's getting a hold of them. Well, when you got saved, you should have been convicted. And Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. Wait a minute, Felix. This may be the only time you get. This may be your last time. But he says this, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Well, Felix, you presuming you're going to have another season. You're presuming you're going to get another opportunity. You're presuming that you're going to get a convenient opportunity. And Felix, do you understand that all eternity is going to be determined by your presumption of time? All of eternity. Listen, you sit here today and you think, well, I'm not going to get saved now, but I'll get saved later. You don't know there's going to be a later. You say, no. Now is fine, but you know, I want to get saved when so-and-so is here. I want such and such to pray with me and leave. Listen to me. You're presuming something that may never happen. You don't know. You have no idea. Felix said convenient season. We, to this day, we don't know if he ever got saved or not. He could have then. That was his opportunity. That's why God says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow. Now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, some of us really, really took a huge chance. I know I did when I was a teenager. I heard the gospel several times before I got saved. And every time I stopped and I thought, well, I'll do it another time. There'll be a better day. Or you know, I'm just not ready now or whatever. And came up with all those things. And wow. You know, all it would have taken is a car accident. You know, any number of things could have happened. And it's not something you want to mess around with. Because we're talking about eternity. Remember, God's in eternity past, but also eternity future. And every one of us will spend eternity somewhere. That's why you need to be saved today if you've never been saved. By the way, that's why every Christian needs to be right with God every day. That's why God said, you know, as I am holy, be ye holy. None of us can be perfect, but we can end some time right with God. We can, okay, if we mess up, we someone said keep short accounts with God, just get right with God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why he said fear. That's why he talks about the time of our sojourning here in fear. Because time just keeps going. And you don't know. You don't know when it's going to end. Do you want to take the chance of, well, I know there's some things I need to do, but I'm waiting until the new year, and then I'm going to turn over a new leaf. But for the rest of today, I'm going to do my thing. Tomorrow, I'm going to do my thing. Monday, I'm going to, New Year's Eve, you know, hey, yeah, everybody's got to do these things. No, listen to me. What you need to do is get on an altar and say, oh, God, I want to be right with you. I want to be right with you every minute that I possibly can be right with you, every hour, every day. I just want to be right with you, God.